This is Audible.
Recorded Books and RB Digital present All Systems Red by Martha Wells. Narrated by Kevin R. Free. Chapter 1. I could have become a mass murderer after I hacked my governor module, but then I realized I could access the combined feed of entertainment channels carried on the company's satellites. It had been well over 35,000 hours or so since then, with still not much murdering, but probably, I don't know, a little under 35,000 hours of movies, serials, books, plays, and music consumed. As a heartless killing machine, I was a terrible failure. I was also still doing my job on a new contract, and hoping Dr. Valescu and Dr. Bharadwaj finished their survey soon, so we could get back to the habitat and I could watch episode 397 of Rise and Fall of Sanctuary Moon. I admit I was distracted. It was a boring contract so far, and I was thinking about backburnering the status alert channel and trying to access music on the entertainment feed without hub system logging the extra activity. It was trickier to do it in the field than it was in the habitat. This assessment zone was a barren stretch of coastal island, with low, flat hills rising and falling, and thick, greenish-black grass up to my ankles. Not much in the way of flora or fauna, except a bunch of different-sized bird-like things and some puffy, floaty things that were harmless, as far as we knew. The coast was dotted with big, bare craters, one of which Bharadwaj and Valescu were taking samples in. The planet had a ring, which from our current position dominated the horizon when you looked out to sea. I was looking at the sky and mentally poking at the feed when the bottom of the crater exploded. I didn't bother to make a verbal emergency call. I sent the visual feed from my field camera to Dr. Mensah's and jumped down into the crater. As I scrambled down the sandy slope, I could already hear Mensah over the emergency comm channel, yelling at someone to get the hopper in the air now. They were about 10 kilos away, working on another part of the island, so there was no way they were going to get here in time to help. Conflicting commands filled my feed, but I didn't pay attention. Even if I hadn't borked my own governor module, the emergency feed took priority, and it was chaotic, too, with the automated hub system wanting data and trying to send me data I didn't need yet, and Mensah sending me telemetry from the hopper, which I also didn't need, but it was easier to ignore than hub systems simultaneously demanding answers and trying to supply them. In the middle of all that, I hit the bottom of the crater. I have small energy weapons built into both arms, but the one I went for was the big projectile weapon clamped to my back. The hostile that had just exploded up out of the ground had a really big mouth, so I felt I needed a really big gun. I dragged Bharadwaj out of its mouth and shoved myself in there instead, and discharged my weapon down its throat and then up toward where I hoped the brain would be. I'm not sure if that all happened in that order. I'd have to replay my own field camera feed. All I knew was that I had Bharadwaj and it didn't, and it had disappeared back down the tunnel. She was unconscious and bleeding through her suit from massive wounds in her right leg and side. I clamped the weapon back into its harness so I could lift her with both arms. I had lost the armor on my left arm and a lot of the flesh underneath, but my non-organic parts were still working. Another burst of commands from the governor module came through, and I back-burnered it without bothering to decode them. Bharadwaj, not having non-organic parts and not as easily repaired as me, was definitely a priority here, and I was mainly interested in what the med system was trying to tell me on the emergency feed. But first I needed to get her out of the crater. During all this, Valescu was huddled on the churned-up rock, losing his shit, not that I was unsympathetic. I was far less vulnerable in this situation than he was, and I wasn't exactly having a great time either. I said, "Dr. Valescu, you need to come with me now." He didn't respond. Med system was advising a trank shot and blah blah blah, but I was clamping one arm on Dr. Bharadwaj's suit to keep her from bleeding out and supporting her head with the other. And despite everything, I only have two hands. I told my helmet to retract so he could see my human face. If the hostile came back and bit me again, this would be a bad mistake, because I did need the organic parts of my head. I made my voice firm and warm and gentle and said, Dr. Valescu, it's going to be fine, okay? But you need to get up and come help me get her out of here. That did it. He shoved to his feet and staggered over to me, still shaking. I turned my good side toward him and said, grab my arm, okay? Hold on. He managed to loop his arm around the crook of my elbow, and I started up the crater, towing him, holding Bharadwaj against my chest. Her breathing was rough and desperate, and I couldn't get any info from her suit. Mine was torn across my chest, so I upped the warmth on my body, hoping it would help. The feed was quiet now, Mensa having managed to use her leadership priority to mute everything but med system and the hopper, and all I could hear on the hopper feed was the others frantically shushing each other. The footing on the side of the crater was lousy, soft sand and loose pebbles, but my legs weren't damaged, and I got up to the top with both humans still alive. Valescu tried to collapse, and I coaxed him away from the edge a few meters, just in case whatever was down there had a longer reach than it looked. I didn't want to put Bharadwaj down because something in my abdomen was severely damaged, and I wasn't sure I could pick her up again. I ran my field camera back a little and saw I had gotten stabbed with a tooth, or maybe a cilia. Did I mean a cilia, or was that something else? They don't give murder bots decent education modules on anything except murdering, and even those are the cheap versions. I was looking it up in Hub System's language center when the little hopper landed nearby. I let my helmet seal and go opaque as it settled on the grass. We had two standard hoppers, a big one for emergencies, and this little one for getting to the assessment locations. It had three compartments, one big one in the middle for the human crew, and two smaller ones to each side for cargo, supplies, and me. Mensa was at the controls. I started walking, slower than I normally would have because I didn't want to lose Valescu. As the ramp started to drop, Pin Lee and Arada jumped out, and I switched to voice comm to say, Dr. Mensa, I can't let go of her suit. It took her a second to realize what I meant. She said hurriedly, That's all right. Bring her up into the crew cabin. Murderbots aren't allowed to ride with the humans, and I had to have verbal permission to enter. With my cracked governor, there was nothing to stop me, but not letting anybody, especially the people who held my contract, know that I was a free agent was kind of important. Like not having my organic components destroyed and the rest of me cut up for parts, important. I carried Bharadwaj up the ramp into the cabin, where Oversay and Rati were frantically unclipping seats to make room. They had their helmets off and their suit hoods pulled back, so I got to see their horrified expressions when they took in what was left of my upper body through my torn suit. I was glad I had sealed my helmet. This is why I actually like riding with the cargo. Humans and augmented humans in close quarters with murderbots is too awkward. At least it's awkward for this murderbot. I sat down on the deck with Bharadwaj in my lap, while Pin Lee and Arada dragged Valescu inside. We left two packs of field equipment and a couple of instruments behind, still sitting on the grass where Bharadwaj and Valescu had been working before they went down to the crater for samples. Normally I'd help carry them, but Med System, which was monitoring Bharadwaj through what was left of her suit, was pretty clear that letting go of her would be a bad idea. But no one mentioned the equipment. Leaving easily replaceable items behind may seem obvious in an emergency, but I had been on contracts where the clients would have told me to put the bleeding human down to go get the stuff. On this contract, Dr. Rati jumped up and said, I'll get the cases. I yelled, no, which I'm not supposed to do. I'm always supposed to speak respectfully to the clients, even when they're about to accidentally commit suicide. Hub system could log it, and it could trigger punishment through the governor module. If it wasn't hacked. Fortunately, the rest of the humans yelled no at the same time, and Pin Lee added, "For fuck's sake, Rati!" Rati said, "Oh, no time, of course, I'm sorry," and hit the quick close sequence on the hatch. So we didn't lose our ramp when the hostile came up under it, big mouth full of teeth or cilia or whatever, chewing right through the ground. There was a great view of it on the hopper's cameras, which its system helpfully sent straight to everybody's feed. The humans screamed. Mensa pushed us up into the air so fast and hard I nearly leaned over, and everybody who wasn't on the floor ended up there. In the quiet afterward, as they gasped with relief, Pin Lee said, "Rati, if you get yourself killed..."
"You'll be very cross with me, I know."
Rati slid down the wall a little more and waved weakly at her.
"That's an order, Rati. Don't get yourself killed," Mensa said from the pilot's seat.
She sounded calm, but I have security priority, and I could see her racing heartbeat through med system. Arata pulled out the emergency medical kit so they could stop the bleeding and try to stabilize Bharadwaj. I tried to be as much like an appliance as possible, clamping the wounds where they told me to, using my failing body temperature to try to keep her warm, and keeping my head down so I couldn't see them staring at me. Performance reliability at 60% and dropping. Our habitat is a pretty standard model. 7 interconnected domes set down on a relatively flat plain above a narrow river valley, with our power and recycling system connected on one side. We had an environmental system, but no airlocks, as the planet's atmosphere was breathable, just not particularly good for humans for the long term. I don't know why, because it's one of those things I'm not contractually obligated to care about. We picked the location because it's right in the middle of the assessment area, and while there are trees scattered through the plain, each one is 15 or so meters tall, very skinny, with a single layer of spreading canopy, so it's hard for anything approaching to use them as cover. Of course, that didn't take into account anything approaching via tunnel. We have security doors on the habitat for safety, but Hub System told me the main one was already open as the hopper landed. Dr. Garothin had a lift gurney ready and guided it out to us. Oversay and Arata had managed to get Bharadwaj stabilized, so I was able to put her down on it and follow the others into the habitat. The humans headed for medical, and I stopped to send the little hopper commands to lock and seal itself, and then I locked the outer doors. Through the security feed, I told the drones to widen our perimeter, so I'd have more warning if something big came at us. I also set some monitors on the seismic sensors to alert me to anomalies just in case the hypothetical something big decided to tunnel in. After I secured the habitat, I went back to what was called the security ready room, which was where weapons, ammo, perimeter alarms, drones, and all the other supplies pertaining to security were stored, including me. I shed what was left of the armor and, on Med System's advice, sprayed wound sealant all over my bad side. I wasn't dripping with blood, because my arteries and veins seal automatically, but it wasn't nice to look at. And it hurt, although the wound seal did numb it a little. I had already set an 8-hour security interdiction through Hub System, so nobody could go outside without me, and then set myself as off-duty. I checked the main feed, but no one was filing any objections to that. I was freezing because my temperature controls had given out at some point on the way here, and the protective skin that went under my armor was in pieces. I had a couple of spares, but pulling one on right now would not be practical or easy. The only other clothing I had was a uniform I hadn't worn yet, and I didn't think I could get it on either. I hadn't needed the uniform because I hadn't been patrolling inside the habitat. Nobody had asked for that, because with only 8 of them, and all friends,
it would be a stupid waste of resources, namely me. I dug around one-handed in the storage case until I found the extra human-rated medical kit I'm allowed in case of emergencies, and opened it and got the survival blanket out. I wrapped up in it, then climbed into the plastic bed of my cubicle. I let the door seal as the white light flickered on. It wasn't much warmer in there, but at least it was cozy. I connected myself to the resupply and repair leads, leaned back against the wall, and shivered. MedSystem helpfully informed me that my performance reliability was now at 58% and dropping, which was not a surprise. I could definitely repair in 8 hours, and probably mostly regrow my damaged organic components, but at 58%, I doubted I could get any analysis done in the meantime. So I set all the security feeds to alert me if anything tried to eat the habitat and started to call up the supply of media I'd downloaded from the entertainment feed. I hurt too much to pay attention to anything with the story, but the friendly noise would keep me company. Then someone knocked on the cubicle door. I stared at it and lost track of all my neatly arrayed inputs. Like an idiot, I said, yes? Dr. Mensa opened the door and peered in at me. I'm not good at guessing actual humans' ages, even with all the visual entertainment I watch. People in the shows don't usually look much like people in real life, at least not in the good shows. She had dark brown skin and lighter brown hair, cut very short, and I'm guessing she wasn't young or she wouldn't be in charge. She said, "Are you all right? I saw your status report." That was the point where I realized that I should have just not answered and pretended to be in stasis. I pulled the blanket around my chest, hoping she hadn't seen any of the missing chunks. Without the armor holding me together, it was much worse. Fine. So I'm awkward with actual humans. It's not paranoia about my hacked governor module, and it's not them. It's me. I know I'm a horrifying murder bot, and they know it, and it makes both of us nervous, which makes me even more nervous. Also, if I'm not in the armor, then it's because I'm wounded and one of my organic parts may fall off and plop on the floor at any moment, and no one wants to see that. Fine, she frowned. The report said you lost 20% of your body mass. It'll grow back, I said. I know to an actual human, I probably looked like I was dying. My injuries were the equivalent of a human losing a limb or two, plus most of their blood volume. I know, but still. She eyed me for a long moment, so long I tapped the security feed for the mess, where the non-wounded members of the group were sitting around the table talking. They were discussing the possibility of more underground fauna and wishing they had intoxicants. That seemed pretty normal. She continued, "You were very good with Dr. Valescu. I don't think the others realized. They were very impressed."
It's part of the emergency med instructions, calming victims. I tugged the blanket tighter so she didn't see anything awful. I could feel something lower down, leaking.
Yes, but the med system was prioritizing Bharadwaj and didn't check Valescu's vital signs. It didn't take into account the shock of the event, and it expected him to be able to leave the scene on his own.
On the feed, it was clear that the others had reviewed Valescu's field camera video. They were saying things like, "I didn't even know it had a face." I'd been in armor since we arrived, and I hadn't unsealed the helmet when I was around them. There was no specific reason. The only part of me they would have seen was my head, and its standard, generic human. But they didn't want to talk to me, and I definitely didn't want to talk to them. On duty, it would distract me, and off duty, I didn't want to talk to them. Mensa had seen me when she signed the rental contract, but she had barely looked at me, and I had barely looked at her because, again, murder bot plus actual human equals awkwardness. Keeping the armor on all the time cuts down on unnecessary interaction. I said, it's part of my job not to listen to the system feeds when they make mistakes. That's why you need constructs, sec units with organic components. But she should know that. Before she accepted delivery of me, she had logged about 10 protests trying to get out of having to have me. I didn't hold it against her. I wouldn't have wanted me either. Seriously, I don't know why I didn't just say, you're welcome, and please get out of my cubicle so I can sit here and leak in peace. All right, she said, and looked at me for what objectively I knew was 2.4 seconds, and subjectively about 20 excruciating minutes. I'll see you in 8 hours. If you need anything before then, please send me an alert on the feed. She stepped back and let the door slide closed. It left me wondering what they were all marveling at, so I called up the recording of the incident. Okay. Wow. I had talked to Valescu all the way up the side of the crater. I had been mostly concerned with the hopper's trajectory, and Bharadwaj not bleeding out, and what might come out of that crater for a second try. I hadn't been listening to myself, basically. I had asked him if he had kids. It was boggling. Maybe I had been watching too much media. He did have kids. He was in a 4-way marriage and had 7, all back home with his partners. All my levels were too elevated now for a rest period, so I decided I might as well get some use out of it and look at the other recordings. Then I found something weird. There was an abort order in the hub system command feed, the one that controlled, or currently believed it controlled, my governor module. It had to be a glitch. It didn't matter, because when med system has priority... Performance reliability at 39%, stasis initiated for emergency repair sequence. Chapter 2. When I woke up, I was mostly all there again, and up to 80% efficiency and climbing. I checked all the feeds immediately, in case the humans wanted to go out, but Mensa had extended the security interdict on the habitat for another 4 hours. Which was a relief, since it would give me time to get back up to the 98% range. But there was also a notice for me to report to her. That had never happened before. But maybe she wanted to go over the hazard info package and figure out why it hadn't warned us about the underground hostile. I was wondering a little about that myself. Their group was called Preservation Ox, and it had bought an option on this planet's resources, and the survey trip was to see if it was worth bidding on a full share. Knowing about things on the planet that might eat them while they're trying to do whatever it is they're doing was kind of important. I don't care much about who my clients are or what they're trying to accomplish. I knew this group was from a freehold planet, but I hadn't bothered to look up the specifics. Freehold meant it had been terraformed and colonized, but wasn't affiliated with any corporate confederations. Basically, freehold generally meant shit show, so I hadn't been expecting much from them. But they were surprisingly easy to work for. I cleaned all the stray fluids off my new skin, then climbed out of the cubicle. That was when I realized I hadn't put the pieces of my armor up, and it was all over the floor, covered with my fluids and Bharadwaj's blood. No wonder Mensa had looked into the cubicle. She had probably thought I was dead in there. I put it all back into its slots in the reclaimer for repair. I had an alternate set, but it was still packed into storage, and it would take extra time to pull it out and do the diagnostics and the fitting. I hesitated over the uniform, but the security feed would have notified Mensa that I was awake, so I needed to get out there. It was based on a standard research group's uniforms, and meant to be comfortable inside the habitat. Knit gray pants, long-sleeved t-shirt, and a jacket, like the exercise clothes humans and augmented humans wore, plus soft shoes. I put it on,
tugged the sleeves down over the gun ports on my forearms, and went out into the habitat. I went through two interior secure doors to the crew area and found them in the main hub in a huddle around a console, looking at one of the hovering displays. They were all there, except Bharadwaj, who was still in the infirmary, and Valescu, who was sitting in there with her. There were mugs and empty meal packets on some of the consoles. I'm not cleaning that up unless I'm given a direct order. Mensa was busy, so I stood and waited. Rati glanced at me, and then did a startled double take. I had no idea how to react. This is why I prefer wearing the armor, even inside the habitat where it's unnecessary and can just get in the way. Human clients usually like to pretend I'm a robot, and that's much easier in the armor. I let my eyes unfocus and pretended I was running a diagnostic on something. Clearly bewildered, Rati said, "Who is this?" They all turned to look at me. All but Mensa, who was sitting at the console with the interface pressed to her forehead. It was clear that even after seeing my face on Valescu's camera video, they didn't recognize me without the helmet. So then I had to look at them and say, "I'm your sec unit." They all looked startled and uncomfortable. Almost as uncomfortable as I did. I wished I'd waited to pull the spare armor out. Part of it is, they didn't want me here. Not here in their hub, but here on the planet. One of the reasons the Bond Company requires it, besides slapping more expensive markups on their clients, is that I was recording all their conversations, all the time. Though I wasn't monitoring anything I didn't need to do a half-assed version of my job. But the company would access all those recordings and data mine them for anything they could sell. No, they don't tell people that. Yes, everyone does know it. No, there's nothing you can do about it. After a subjective half hour and an objective 3.4 seconds, Dr. Mensa turned, saw me, and lowered the interface. She said, "We were checking the hazard report for this region to try to learn why that thing wasn't listed under hazardous fauna. Pin Lee thinks the data has been altered. Can you examine the report for us?" "Yes, Dr. Mensa." I could have done this in my cubicle, and we could have all saved the embarrassment. Anyway, I picked up the feed she was watching from Hub System and started to check the report. It was basically a long list of pertinent info and warnings on the planet, and specifically the area where our habitat was, with emphasis on weather, terrain, flora, fauna, air quality, mineral deposits, possible hazards related to any and all of those, with connections to sub-reports with more detailed information. Dr. Garathan, the least talkative one, was an augmented human and had his own implanted interface. I could feel him poking around in the data, while the others, using the touch interfaces, were just distant ghosts. I had a lot more processing power than he did, though. I thought they were being paranoid, even with the interfaces you actually have to read the words, preferably all the words. Sometimes non-augmented humans don't do that. Sometimes augmented humans don't do it either. But as I checked the general warning section, I noticed something was odd about the formatting. A quick comparison with the other parts of the report told me that, yeah, something had been removed, a connection to a sub-report broken. "You're right," I said, distracted as I rifled through data storage looking for the missing piece. I couldn't find it. It wasn't just a broken connection. Somebody had actually deleted the sub-report. That was supposed to be impossible with this type of planetary survey package, but I guess it wasn't as impossible as all that. Something's been deleted from the warnings and the section on fauna. The reaction to that in general was pretty pissed off. There were some loud complaints from Pin Lee and Oversay, and dramatic throwing hands in the air from Rati. But, like I said, they were all friends and a lot less restrained with each other than my last set of contractual obligations. It was why, if I forced myself to admit it, I had actually been enjoying this contract up until something tried to eat me and Bharadwaj. Sex system records everything, even inside the sleeping cabins, and I see everything. That's why it's easier to pretend I'm a robot. Oversay and Arata were a couple, but from the way they acted, they'd always been one, and they were best friends with Rati. Rati had an unrequited thing for Pin Lee, but didn't act stupid about it. Pin Lee was exasperated a lot and tossed things around when the others weren't there, but it wasn't about Rati. I thought that being under the company's eye affected her more than the others. Valescu admired Mensa to the point where he might have a crush on her. Pin Lee did too, but she and Bharadwaj flirted occasionally in an old, comfortable way that suggested it had been going on for a long time. Girathan was the only loner, but he seemed to like being with the others. He had a small, quiet smile, and they all seemed to like him. It was a low-stress group. They didn't argue much or antagonize each other for fun, and were fairly restful to be around, as long as they didn't try to talk or interact with me in any way. Mid-expression of frustration, Rati said, "So we have no way to know if that creature was an aberration, or if they live at the bottom of all those craters." Arata, who was one of the biology specialists, said, "You know, I bet they do. If those big avians we saw on the scans land on those barrier islands frequently, that creature might be preying on them." "It would explain what the craters are doing there," Mensa said more thoughtfully. "That would be one anomaly out of the way, at least."
"But who removed that sub-report?" Pin Lee said, which I agreed was the most important question here.
She turned to me with one of those abrupt movements that I had taught myself not to react to.
"Can the hub system be hacked?"
From the outside, I had no idea. It was as easy as breathing to do it from the inside, with the built-in interfaces in my own body. I had hacked it as soon as it had come online when we set up the habitat. I had to. If it monitored the governor module in my feed, like it was supposed to, it could lead to a lot of awkward questions and me being stripped for parts. "As far as I know, it's possible," I said. "But it's more likely the report was damaged before you received the survey package." Lowest bidder, trust me on that one. There were groans and general complaining about having to pay high prices for shitty equipment. I don't take it personally. Mensa said,
"Girathan, maybe you and Pin Lee can figure out what happened.
Most of my clients only know their specialties, and there's no reason to send a system specialist along on a survey trip. The company supplies all the systems and attachments, the medical equipment, the drones, me, etc., and will maintain it as part of the overall package the clients purchase. But Pin Lee seemed to be a gifted amateur at system interpretation, and Girathan had an advantage with his internal interface." Mensa added,
"In the meantime, does the Delt Fall group have the same survey package as we do?"
I checked. Hub System thought it was likely, but we knew what its opinion was worth now. "Probably," I said. "Delt Fall was another survey group, like us, but they were on a continent on the opposite side of the planet. They were a bigger operation and had been dropped off by a different ship, so the humans hadn't met in person, but they talked over the comm occasionally. They weren't part of my contract and had their own sec units, the standard one per 10 clients. We were supposed to be able to call on each other in emergencies, but being half a planet apart put a natural damper on that." Mensa leaned back in her chair and steepled her fingers.
"All right, this is what we'll do. I want you each to check the individual sections of the survey package for your specialties. Try to pinpoint any more missing information. When we have a partial list, I'll call Deltfall and see if they can send us the files."
That sounded like a great plan, in that it didn't involve me. I said, "Dr. Mensa, do you need me for anything else?" She turned her chair to face me.
"No, I'll call if we have any questions." I had worked for some contracts that would have kept me standing here the entire day and night cycle, just on the off chance they wanted me to do something and didn't want to bother using the feed to call me. Then she added, "You know you can stay here in the crew area if you want. Would you like that?" They all looked at me, most of them smiling. One disadvantage in wearing the armor is that I get used to opaquing the faceplate. I'm out of practice at controlling my expression. Right now, I'm pretty sure it was somewhere in the region of stunned horror, or maybe appalled horror. Mensa sat up, startled. She said hurriedly, "Or not, you know, whatever you like." I said, "I need to check the perimeter," and managed to turn and leave the crew area in a totally normal way, and not like I was fleeing from a bunch of giant hostiles. Back in the safety of the ready room, I leaned my head against the plastic-coated wall. Now they knew their murder bot didn't want to be around them any more than they wanted to be around it. I'd given a tiny piece of myself away. That can't happen. I have too much to hide, and letting one piece go means the rest isn't as protected. I shoved away from the wall and decided to actually do some work. The missing sub-report made me a little cautious. Not that there were any directives about it. My education modules were such cheap crap. Most of the useful things I knew about security I learned from the edutainment programming on the entertainment feeds. That's another reason why they have to require these research groups and mining and biology and tech companies to rent one of us, or they won't guarantee the bond. We're cheaply produced, and we suck. Nobody would hire one of us for non-murdering purposes unless they had to. Once I got my extra suit skin and spare set of armor on, I walked to the perimeter and compared the current readings of the terrain and the seismic scans to the one we took when we first arrived. There were some notes in the feed from Rati and Arata that fauna, like the one we were now calling Hostile One, might have made all the anomalous craters in the survey area. But nothing had changed around the habitat. I also checked to make sure both the big hopper and the little hopper had their full complement of emergency supplies. I packed them in there myself days ago, but I was mainly checking to make sure the humans hadn't done anything stupid with them since the last time I checked. I did everything I could think of to do, then finally let myself go on standby while I caught up on my serials. I'd watched 3 episodes of Sanctuary Moon and was fast-forwarding through a sex scene when Dr. Mensa sent me some images through the feed. I don't have any gender or sex-related parts. If a construct has those, you're a sex bot in a brothel, not a murder bot. So maybe that's why I find sex scenes boring. Though I think that even if I did have sex-related parts, I would find them boring. I took a look at the images in Mensa's message, then saved my place in the serial. Confession time. I don't actually know where we are. We have, or are supposed to have, a complete satellite map of the planet in the survey package. That was how the humans decided where to do their assessments. I hadn't looked at the maps yet, and I'd barely looked at the survey package. In my defense, we'd been here 22 planetary days, and I hadn't had to do anything but stand around watching humans make scans or take samples of dirt, rocks, water, and leaves. The sense of urgency just wasn't there. Also, you may have noticed, I don't care. So it was news to me that there were 6 missing sections from our map. Pinley and Garathan had found the discrepancies, and Mensa wanted to know if I thought it was just the survey package being cheap and error-ridden, or if I thought this was part of a hack. I appreciated the fact that we were communicating via the feed and that she wasn't making me actually speak to her on the comm. I was so appreciative I gave her my real opinion, that it probably was the fact that our survey package was a cheap piece of crap, but the only way to know for certain was to go out and look at one of the missing sections and see if there was anything there besides more boring planet.
I didn't phrase it exactly like that, but that was what I meant. She took her attention off the feed then, but I stayed alert, since I knew she tended to make her decisions fast, and if I started a show again, I'd just get interrupted. I did check the security camera view of the hub so I could hear their conversation. They all wanted to check it out, and were just going back and forth on whether they should wait. They had just had a calm conversation with Deltfall on the other continent, who had agreed to send copies of the missing survey package files. Some of the clients wanted to see if anything else was missing first, and others wanted to go now, and blah, blah, blah. I knew how this was going to turn out. It wasn't a long trip, not far outside the range of the other assessments they had been doing, but not knowing what they were flying into was definitely a red flag for security. In a smart world, I should go alone. But with the governor module, I had to be within 100 meters of at least one of the clients at all times, or it would fry me. They knew that, so volunteering to take a solo cross-continental trip might set off a few alarms. So when Mensa opened the feed again to tell me they were going, I told her security protocols suggested that I should go, too. Chapter 3. We got ready to leave at the beginning of the day cycle, in the morning light, and the satellite weather report said it would be a good day for flying and scanning. I checked med system and saw Bharadwaj was awake and talking. It wasn't until I was helping to carry equipment to the little hopper that I realized they were going to make me ride in the crew cabin. At least I was in the armor with my helmet opaqued. But when Mensa told me to get in the co-pilot seat, it didn't turn out to be as bad as my first horrified realization. Arata and Pinley didn't try to talk to me, and Rati actually looked away when I eased past him to get to the cockpit. They were all so careful not to look at me or talk to me directly that as soon as we were in the air, I did a quick spot check through Hub System's records of their conversations. I had talked myself into believing that I hadn't actually lost it as much as I thought I had when Mensa had offered to let me hang out in the hub with the humans like I was an actual person or something. The conversation they had immediately after that gave me a sinking sensation as I reviewed it. No, it had been worse than I thought. They had talked it over and all agreed not to push me any further than I wanted to go, and they were all so nice. And it was just excruciating. I was never taking off the helmet again. I can't do even the half-assed version of this stupid job if I have to talk to humans. They were the first clients I'd had who hadn't had any previous experience with sec units, so maybe I could have expected this if I'd bothered to think about it. Letting them see me without the armor had been a huge mistake. At least Mensa and Arata had overruled the ones who wanted to talk to me about it. Yes, talk to Murderbot about its feelings. The idea was so painful I dropped to 97% efficiency, and rather climb back into hostile one's mouth. I worried about it while they looked out the windows at the ring, or watched their feeds of the hopper scans of the new scenery, chatting on the comm with the others who were following our progress back in the habitat. I was distracted, but still caught the moment when the autopilot cut out. It could have been a problem, except I was in the co-pilot seat, and I could have taken over in time. But even if I hadn't been there, it would have turned out okay, because Mensa was flying, and she never took her hands off the controls. Even though the planetary craft autopilots aren't as sophisticated as a full bot pilot system, some clients will still engage it and then walk into the back or sleep. Mensa didn't, and she made sure when the others flew, they followed her rules. She just made some thoughtful, grumpy noises and adjusted our course away from the mountain the failing autopilot would have slammed us into. I had cycled out of horrified that they wanted to talk to me about my feelings into grateful that she had ordered them not to. As she restarted the autopilot, I pulled the log and sent it into the feed to show her it had cut out due to a hub system glitch. She swore under her breath and shook her head.
The missing map section wasn't that far outside our assessment range, so we were there before I made a dent in the backlog of serials I'd saved to my internal storage. Mensa told the others, "We're coming up on it." We'd been traveling over heavy tropical forest, where it flowed over deep valleys. Suddenly it dropped away into a plain, spotted with lakes and smaller copses of trees. There was a lot of bare rock, in low ridges and tumbled boulders. It was dark and glassy, like volcanic glass. The cabin was quiet as everybody studied the scans. Arata was looking at the seismic data, bouncing it to the others back in the habitat through her feed.
"I don't see anything that would prevent the satellite from mapping this region," Pinley said, her voice distant as she sorted through the data the hopper was pulling in. "No strange readings. It's weird."
"Unless this rock has some sort of stealth property that prevented the satellites from imaging it," Arata said, "the scanners are acting a little funny."
"Because the scanners suck corporation balls,"
Pinley muttered.
"Should we land?"
Mensa said. I realized she was asking me for a security assessment. The scans were sort of working and marking some hazards, but they weren't any different hazards from what we'd run into before. I said, "We could, but we know there's at least one life form here that tunnels through rock." Arata bounced a little in her seat, like she was impatient to get going.
"I know we have to be cautious, but I think we'd be safer if we knew whether these blank patches on the satellite scan were accidental or deliberate."
That was when I realized they weren't ignoring the possibility of sabotage. I should have realized it earlier, when Pinley asked if Hub System could be hacked. But humans had been looking at me, and I had just wanted to get out of there. Rati and Pinley seconded her, and Mensa made her decision.
"We'll land and take samples."
Over the comm from the habitat, Bharadwaj's voice said, "Please be careful." She still sounded shaky. Mensa took us down gently, the hopper's pads touching the ground with hardly a thump. I was already up and at the hatch. The humans had their suit helmets on, so I opened the hatch and let the ramp drop. Close up, the rocky patches still looked like glass, mostly black, but with different colors running into each other. This near to the ground, the hopper's scan was able to confirm that seismic activity was null, but I walked out a little bit, as if giving anything out there a chance to attack me. If the humans see me actually doing my job, it helps keep suspicions from forming about faulty governor modules. Mensa climbed down with Arata behind her. They moved around, taking more readings with their portable scanners. Then the others got the sample kits out and started chipping off pieces of the rock glass or glass rock, scooping up dirt and bits of plant matter. They were murmuring to each other a lot and to the others back at the habitat. They were sending the data to the feed, but I wasn't paying attention. It was an odd spot, quiet compared to the other places we'd surveyed, with not much bird thing noise and no sign of animal movement. Maybe the rocky patches kept them away. I walked out a little way, past a couple of the lakes, almost expecting to see something under the surface. Dead bodies, maybe. I'd seen plenty of those, and caused plenty of those, on past contracts, but this one had been dead body lacking so far. It made for a nice change. Mensa had set a survey perimeter, marking all the areas the aerial scan had flagged as hazardous or potentially hazardous. I checked on everybody again and saw Arata and Rati heading directly for one of the hazard markers. I expected them to stop at the perimeter, since they'd been pretty consistently cautious on the other assessments. I started moving in that direction anyway. Then they passed the perimeter. I started to run. I sent Mensa my field camera feed and used the voice comm to say, "Dr. Arata, Dr. Rati, please stop. You're past the perimeter and nearing a hazard marker.
We are?
Rati sounded completely baffled. Fortunately, they both stopped. By the time I got there, they both had their maps up in my feed.
I don't understand what's wrong, Arata said, confused. I don't see the hazard marker.
She had tagged both their positions, and on their maps they were well within the perimeter, heading toward a wetland area. It took me a second to see what the problem was. Then I superimposed my map, the actual map, over theirs and sent that to Mensa.
Shit, she said over the comm.
Rati, Arata, your map's wrong. How did that happen?
It's a glitch, Rati said.
He grimaced, studying the displays in his feed.
It's wiped out all the markers on this side.
So that was how I spent the rest of the morning, shooing humans away from hazard markers they couldn't see, while Pin Lee cursed a lot and tried to get the mapping scanner to work. I'm beginning to think these missing sections are just a mapping error, Rati said at one point, panting. He had walked into what they called a hot mud pit, and I'd had to pull him out. We were both covered with acidic mud to the waist.
You think? Pin Lee answered tiredly.
When Mensa told us to head back to the hopper, it was a relief all around. We got back to the habitat with no problems, which felt like it was starting to become an unusual occurrence. The humans went to analyze their data, and I went to hide in the ready room, check the security feeds, and then lie in my cubicle and watch media for a while. I'd just done another perimeter walk and checked the drones when the feed informed me that Hub System had updates from the satellite and there was a package for me. I have a trick where I make Hub System think I received it and then just put it in external storage. I don't do automated package updates anymore, now that I don't have to. When I felt like it, presumably sometime before it was time to leave the planet, I'd go through the update and apply the parts I wanted and delete the rest. It was a typical boring day, in other words. If Bharadwaj wasn't still recuperating in medical, you could almost forget what had happened. But at the end of the day cycle, Dr. Mensa called me again and said,
I think we have a problem. We can't contact Deltfall Group.
I went to the crew hub where Mensa and all the others were. They had pulled up the maps and scans of where we were versus where Deltfall was, and the curve of the planet hung glittering in the air in the big display. When I got there, Mensa was saying, I've checked the Big Hopper's specs, and we can make it there and back without a recharge. I had my helmet plate opaqued, so I could wince a lot without any of them knowing.
You don't think they'll let us recharge at their habitat?
Arata asked, then looked around when the others stared at her.
What?
She demanded. Oversay put an arm around her and squeezed her shoulder.
If they aren't answering our calls, they might be hurt, or their habitat is damaged, she said.
As a couple, they were always so nice to each other. The whole group had been remarkably drama-free so far, which I appreciated. The last few contracts had been like being an involuntary bystander in one of the entertainment feed's multi-partner relationship serials, except I'd hated the whole cast. Mensa nodded. That's my concern, especially if their survey package was missing potential hazard information the way ours is. Arata looked like it was just occurring to her that everybody over at Deltfall might be dead. Rati said, The thing that worries me is that their emergency beacon didn't launch. If the habitat was breached, or if there was a medical emergency they couldn't handle, their hub system should have triggered the beacon automatically. Each survey team has its own beacon, set up a safe distance from the habitat. It would launch into a low orbit and send a pulse toward the wormhole, which would get zapped, or whatever happened in the wormhole, and the company network would get it. and the pickup transport would be sent now instead of waiting until the end of project date. That was how it was supposed to work, anyway. Usually. Mensa's expression said she was worried. She looked at me.
What do you think?
It took me 2 seconds to realize she was talking to me. Fortunately, since it seemed like we were really doing this, I had actually been paying attention and didn't need to play the conversation back. I said, they have 3 contracted sec units, but if their habitat was hit by a hostile as big or bigger than Hostile 1, their comm equipment could have been damaged. Pin Lee was calling up specs for the beacons.
Aren't the emergency beacons designed to trigger even if the rest of the comm equipment is destroyed?
The other good thing about my hacked governor module is that I could ignore the governor's instructions to defend the stupid company. They're supposed to be able to, but equipment failures aren't unknown. There was a moment where they all thought about potential equipment failures in their habitat, maybe including the big hopper which they were about to fly out of range of the little hopper, so if something happened to it, they were walking back. And swimming back, since that was an ocean-sized body of water between the 2 points on the map. Or drown. I guess they could just drown. If you were wondering why I was wincing earlier, this would be the reason. The trip to the map's blackout region had been a little out of our assessment parameters, but this was going to be an overnight trip, even if all they did was get there, see a bunch of dead people, turn around, and go back. Then Garothin said,
what about your systems?
I didn't turn my helmet toward him because that can be intimidating, and it's especially important for me to resist that urge. I carefully monitor my own systems. What else did he think I was going to say? It didn't matter. I'm not refundable. Valescu cleared his throat.
So we should prepare for a rescue mission.
He looked okay, but MedSystems feed was still reporting some indicators of distress. Baradwaj was stable, but not allowed to get out of medical yet. He continued,
I've pulled some instructions from the Hopper's info package.
Yes, instructions. They're academics, surveyors, researchers, not action hero explorers from the serials I liked because they were unrealistic and not depressing and sordid like reality. I said, Dr. Mensa, I think I should go along. I could see her notes in the feed, so I knew she meant for me to stay here and watch the habitat and guard everybody who wasn't going. She was taking Pin Lee, because she had past experience in habitat and shelter construction, Rati, who was a biologist, and Oversay, who was certified as a field medic. Mensa hesitated, thinking about it, and I could tell she was debating protecting the habitat and the group staying behind, with the possibility of whatever had hit Deltfall still being there. She took a breath, and I knew she was going to tell me to stay here, and I just thought, that's a bad idea. I couldn't explain to myself why. It was one of those impulses that comes from my organic parts that the governor is supposed to squash. I said, as the only one here with experience in these situations, I'm your best resource. Garothin said,
what situations?
Rati gave him a bemused look. This situation. The unknown. Strange threats. Monsters exploding out of the ground. I was glad I wasn't the only one who thought it was a dumb question. Garothin wasn't as talkative as the others, so I didn't have much of a sense of his personality. He was the only augmented human in the group, so maybe he felt like an outsider, or something, even though the others clearly liked him. I clarified, situations where personnel might be injured due to attack by planetary hazards. Arata came in on my side.
I agree. I think you should take Sec Unit. You don't know what's out there.
Mensa was still undecided. Depending on what we find, we may be gone as long as 2 or 3 days. Arata waved a hand, indicating the habitat.
Nothing's bothered us here so far.
That was probably what Deltfall had thought, right before they got eaten or torn to pieces or whatever. But Valescu said,
I admit it would make me feel better about it.
From medical, Baradwaj tapped into the feed to add her vote for me. Garothin was the only one staying behind who didn't say anything.
Mensa nodded firmly.
All right, then. It's decided. Now let's get moving.
So I prepped the big hopper to go to the other side of the planet. And yes, I had to pull up the instructions. I checked it over as much as I could, remembering how the autopilot had cut out suddenly in the little hopper. But we hadn't used the big hopper since Mensa had taken it up to check it out when we arrived. You had to check everything out and log any problems immediately when you took delivery or the company wasn't liable. But everything looked okay, or at least matched what the specs said it was supposed to match. It was only there for emergencies, and if this thing with Deltfall hadn't happened, we would probably never have touched it until it was time to lift it onto our pickup transport. Mensa came to do her own check of the hopper and told me to pack some extra emergency supplies for the Deltfall staff. I did it, and I hoped for the humans' sake we would need them. I thought it was likely that the only supplies we would need for Deltfall was the post-mortem kind, but you may have noticed that when I do manage to care, I'm a pessimist. When everything was ready, Oversay, Rati, and Pinley climbed in, and I stood hopefully by the cargo pod. Mensa pointed at the cabin. I winced behind my opaque faceplate and climbed in. Chapter 4. We flew through the night, the humans taking scans and discussing the new terrain past our assessment range. It was especially interesting for them to see what was there, now that we knew our map wasn't exactly reliable. Mensa gave everybody watch shifts, including me. This was new, but not unwelcome, as it meant I had blocks of time where I wasn't supposed to be paying attention and didn't have to fake it. Mensa, Pinley, and Oversay were all taking turns as pilot and co-pilot, so I didn't have to worry so much about the autopilot trying to kill us, and I could go on standby and watch my stored supply of cereals. We'd been in the air a while, and Mensa was piloting with Pinley in the co-pilot seat when Rati turned in his seat to face me and said, We were given to understand that imitative human bot units are partially constructed from cloned material. Warily, I stopped the show I was watching. I didn't like where this might go. All of that information is in the Common Knowledge Database, plus in the brochure the company provides with the specifics of the types of units they use, which he knew, being a scientist and whatever. And he wasn't the kind of human who asked about things when he could look them up himself through a feed. That's true, I said, very careful to make my voice sound just as neutral as always. Rati's expression was troubled. But surely... It's clear you have feelings. I flinched. I couldn't help it. Oversay had been working in the feed, analyzing data from the assessments. She looked up, frowning.
Rati, what are you doing?
Rati shifted guiltily. I know Mensa asked us not to, but... He waved a hand.
You saw it!
Oversay pulled her interface off.
You're upsetting it,
she said, teeth gritted.
That's my point, he gestured in frustration. The practice is disgusting. It's horrible. It's slavery. This is no more a machine than Garothin is.
Exasperated, Oversay said,
and you don't think it knows that?
I'm supposed to let the clients do and say whatever they want to me, and with an intact governor module, I wouldn't have a choice. I'm also not supposed to snitch on clients to anybody except the company. But it was either that or jump out the hatch. I sent the conversation into the feed, tagged for Mensa. From the cockpit, she shouted,
Rati, we talked about this.
I slid out of the seat and went to the back of the hopper, as far away as I could get, facing the supply lockers in the head. It was a mistake. It wasn't a normal thing for a SEC unit with an intact governor module to do, but they didn't notice.
I'll apologize, Rati was saying. No, just leave it alone, Mensa told him.
That would just make it worse,
Oversay added. I stood there until they all calmed down and got quiet again, then slid into a seat in the back and resumed the serial I'd been watching. It was the middle of the night when I felt the feed drop out. I hadn't been using it, but I had the sex system feeds from the drones and the interior cameras back-burnered and was accessing them occasionally to make sure everything was okay. The humans left behind in the habitat were more active than they usually were at this time, probably anxious about what we were going to find at Deltfall. I was hearing Arata walk around occasionally, though Valescu was snoring off and on in his bunk. Baradwaj had been able to move back to her own quarters, but was restless and going over her field notes through the feed. Garathan was in the hub doing something on his personal system. I wondered what he was doing, and had just started to carefully poke around through hub system to find out. When the feed dropped, it was like someone slapped the organic